news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The morning after Super Tuesday, everything is different. Thanks to an emotional endorsement by Congressman Jim Clyburn, Joe Biden's win in South Carolina on Saturday was the snowball that became a virtual avalanche. The so-called moderates in the race dropped out, throwing their support to the former vice president, helping to propel him to a stunning Super Tuesday victory. Biden won the race as you'd expect, the southern states that the Democrats haven't taken in a general election in more than a generation. But Amy Klobuchar's endorsement likely fueled his surprise victory in Minnesota, a state Bernie Sanders won easily in 2016. And Beto O'Rourke's endorsement likely played a role in Biden's shocking victory in Texas, where Sanders had been polling way ahead. And in one of the biggest upsets of the night, Biden won in Elizabeth Warren's home state of Massachusetts, with Bernie Sanders placing second and Warren coming in third. Sanders, meanwhile, while underperforming expectations, won California, Colorado, Utah, and his home state of Vermont. The total number of delegates awarded may not be known for days or even weeks, but California's 415 pledged delegates could make a difference in the standings. Elizabeth Warren did not fare well. She didn't win in a single state and garnered only 28 delegates. But as of press time is showing no signs of dropping out, Warren spent Tuesday night campaigning in Michigan. The biggest loser, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who spent about $500 million on his quest to purchase the nomination. He notched one victory in the U.S. territory of American Samoa. Calculations show that Michael Bloomberg spent $46.5 million per delegate and is reportedly considering dropping out as soon as Wednesday. Of course, Elizabeth Warren is also facing intense pressure to step aside. Next Tuesday, March 10th, votes will be cast in Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, and North Dakota. The following week, it's Florida, Arizona, Illinois, and Ohio. Major voting problems were apparent in the two biggest states voting Tuesday, California and Texas. Although the polls closed at 8 p.m. local time, voters stayed in line for hours until every vote was cast. I do wonder how many just gave up and went home. On Wednesday's Nicole Sandler Show, I'll speak with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com and the Bradcast about the huge problems with the new voting machines in both California and Texas. One important factoid. In every state with exit polls, results show majority support for replacing private insurance. In other races of note, it appears that incumbent Henry Cuellar, Blue Dog of Texas, is successfully defending his seat against progressive Jessica Cisneros. With 44% of the vote counted, Cuellar leads 53-48%. In California's 25th district, a seat vacated by Katie Hill, the DCCC handpicked candidate Christy Smith has easily defeated her Democratic opponents, including Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks. Tennessee is under a state of emergency after its deadliest tornado day in 7 years. At least 25 people were killed and dozens more are unaccounted for after storms ripped through the Nashville area. Thousands are still without power, and search and rescue teams are working to locate the missing. The destruction and confusion following the storms led some polling places in the state and surrounding areas to extend their hours to accommodate Super Tuesday voters. Meanwhile, economic fears over the coronavirus epidemic continue to rise. The Federal Reserve slashed interest rates by 0.5 percentage point on Tuesday in an attempt to give the U.S. economy a jolt, but it didn't work. Just moments after the Fed announced the rate cut, the markets began another slide that ended at the closing bell with an 800-point or 2.9% drop. Meanwhile, the coronavirus COVID-19 continues its march toward world domination. Globally, it's killed over 300 people and infected over 93,000 in close to 80 countries. The U.S. has reported 127 confirmed cases in 16 states. Then again, only around 500 tests have been administered here, as opposed to tens of thousands in other countries. Mike Pence announced a policy change on Tuesday, removing restrictions to getting tested. Now we just need the tests. So about that peace deal with the Taliban, the U.S. has conducted an airstrike against Taliban fighters in Afghanistan as the just-announced deal between the two countries threatens to fray just days after it was signed. The breakdown began after reports the Taliban had resumed violence in the country, carrying out 33 reported attacks that killed 6 civilians and wounded 14 others. Such aggression is expressly forbidden by the deal with the U.S. in exchange for the U.S. reducing its troop presence in the country. Donald Trump and Mullah Abdul Ghani Berardi, the Taliban's chief negotiator, spoke by phone Tuesday amid the reports, a conversation that Trump described as good.
I spoke to the leader of the Taliban today. We had a good conversation. We've agreed there's no violence. We don't want violence. We'll see what happens. They're dealing with Afghanistan, but we'll see what happens.
Hours later, military officials announced the airstrike, which they said was a defensive move to protect a U.S. military checkpoint. And from the Elections Have Consequences file, on Wednesday, the Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments in the first major abortion case of the Trump era. The case centers on a restrictive Louisiana law requiring abortion providers to have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals, a measure opponents say is medically unnecessary and will result in the closure of all but one clinic in the state. And finally, Donald Trump made good on his promise to sue the media. Of course, he filed suit against the New York Times last week over an opinion column. This time, the target is the Washington Post. Trump's latest lawsuit takes aim at opinion articles from last year that linked the president to Russian election interference. In the first, Greg Sargent, who writes the Plumline blog, said Trump had, quote, tried to conspire with a sweeping and systematic attack by Russia in 2016. In the second, Paul Waldman, who also contributes to the Plumline blog, questioned whether Russia and North Korea would help Trump get elected this year. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.